Well, the first lesson is from Exodus, chapter 16. The whole congregation of people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord.
Gone away alone.
So what are we,
other boats
that you grumble
Tiberias
against us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared to them in the clouds. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And the people of Israel saw it, and they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was.
With hunger.
And Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson, Ephesians 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all things and through all things and in all things. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on
every
high,
day, he led
that I may
a
test
them
whether they will walk
and
in my law,
gifts to men.
In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended
by
above
all
cunning,
the heavens, that he might
craftiness in deceit. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves that are carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, but by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we shall
joined and held together by every joint which with it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise if you're able to hear the gospel of our Lord. I believe in the Lord.
For the next day, this is from John chapter 6, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place,
eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit
and the Lord and
the bond of peace.
So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set a seal." Then he said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is what the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent."
Came up and covered the can.
So they said to him,
"And
what
in the morning,
sign do we do that
later,
we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave them the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the earth." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You cite the Ten Commandments. This is just kind of reviewing the catechism. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord.
And the Lord said to Moses,
"Remember this Sabbath.
Behold, I am about to rain.
Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness against your neighbor. You shall not
rather
your neighbor's house.
Speaking the truth in love, we shall join
or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs."
And we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body.
Today we come to you with those sins that we know.
May be seated for the hymn of the day.
which you have been called with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, food me till I find no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliver, be thou still my strength and shield.
He didn't look for
that. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread.
This time he gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel. Well, 2 weeks ago we learned about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the two fish and the five loaves. And then last week, calmed the storms, but the disciples were still thinking about the loaves. And this Sunday, we're still on the loaves. They were thinking about the bread.
About the sacrament he would lead them.
Gave them more bread for thought.
On the night in which he was.
This time he gave them bread from heaven to eat. The bread from heaven was not meant to fill your stomach, but to fill your soul. But the people that followed Jesus still weren't getting it. They wanted Jesus to do more miracles. And I suppose, had we been there, we would probably be wanting more miracles too.
If I'd have been Jesus
would have waited till they had
was offering to them not
showers,
just miracles, not just magic tricks, not just a miracle.
Be abandoned by God.
Jesus was already hinting about the sacrament he would lead them on the night in which he was betrayed. We also want more from God. When we're sick or when a loved one is sick, we want miracles. How many times do we pray and our prayers seem to go unanswered? How many times has God's actions or his inaction disappointed us, made us question our faith, made us wonder if God really cared? And then we'll kind of calm ourselves with some cliches that, you know, it must be God's will. I hear that one a lot. Or that God never gives us more than we can handle. And I always say, yeah, but he can pull it, fill it right up to the rim, right?
Or we blame ourselves, thinking that God must be punishing us for something evil that we did. We beat up ourselves, or we blame someone else.
Have a clue.
That's a nice way to shift as to why he was there.
Blame the hurt, the disappointment.
Or we think that if we could just get justice, then everything would be okay. If God would just be fair, and being fair by how we define being fair. And while there are some truths in the cliches that I spoke, I know that most of them don't bring much comfort. I learned a long time ago as a hospital chaplain, you do better saying nothing than saying something stupid.
Ourselves with some cliches that, you know,
God knew that we needed more than mere words.
Words are good, but he knew what kind of grumbling, doubting people we would be.
He knew that we would need the Word to become flesh and dwell amongst us. So he sent Jesus. But he didn't just send Jesus to appear. He sent Jesus as a baby.
Blame someone else. That's a nice way to shift.
Imagine going from being an immortal, omnipresent, all-powerful being to being confined to a tiny human body inside the womb of another human being.
I dredge the
fully God, fully aware, but fully human. Mary had to go through birth, yeah, that's true, but Jesus had to go through birth also. And he had to wear those swaddling clothes. You know, that's always bugged me. If I'd have been Jesus, I would have waited until they had hot showers.
We did.
The women.
We beat up
ourselves, or
not because.
Oh, that must have been awful. And he had to have parents who didn't have a clue as to why he was there. But they were good parents. They watched over him. And he had this really weird cousin. Does everybody have a weird cousin? You know, the really weird cousin. Mine had to come in and ask Grandma for a knife so he could go cut the foot off of a possum that he found in the yard. I don't know why, but we don't ask. We don't ask. And he had ordinary people be his followers. He didn't go to the synagogue to get his followers. He didn't look for the seminary graduates of his day. He took fishermen. And we all know about fishermen, don't we? Never gives us more than we can handle.
We have a saying that
I always say, yeah, but he can
like pull a sailor.
And fishermen are known to stretch the truth.
These are the people.
These are the people that Jesus picked. He did miracles and he healed the sick, he raised the dead, but it was never enough for the people who came to see him. They always wanted more. And in the end, it was the people of Israel, his family, his church, that would turn against him, have him arrested, convicted, and crucified. And his crucifixion, that wasn't just or fair. It was painful and unjust. The physical torment of crucifixion is worse than anything we could imagine. And not just because of the pain. Here was Jesus, the first human being to ever live a sinless life, Jesus picked. And he's the one who came the unanswered. Every sin that had ever been committed from the time, and we all thought about taking a bite of the apple and Adam just doing it without thinking much at all. Every sin from that moment on, all the sins that we have committed during our lifetime, and every sin that will be committed until the day Jesus comes again, all were heaped upon him and made to become his sin. And then after the physical pain of crucifixion was over, when he finally said and that he finally died, just before that, when he needed his Father and God the most, and he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the worst. But that was the full penalty. How many times do we pray and our prayers seem to go be abandoned by God is hell. Jesus' disciples still didn't understand. They weren't out at the grave door waiting for his resurrection on the third day. He had told them that again and again and again. They were behind locked doors out of fear. It's the women who went to the tomb. Not because they thought there was going to be a resurrection either. We know that because they were bringing with them all that was necessary to prepare Jesus' body for burial. I think they probably figured the disciples didn't do it right on the day Jesus died, and so they were going to redo it. And they found an empty tomb. And they came and told the disciples, who still didn't believe it. They had to run out and look for themselves. Jesus had tried to warn them. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, and told them, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And he took the wine, gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." He had given them everything they needed. He assured for them the real presence of himself for eternity. No more abandonment by God. That every time we reach out our hands and receive that wafer, Christ is really present. We hold him. We place him in our mouth and he becomes a part of us. Not just for show, but because that gives us the forgiveness he won for us. That gives us the strength that we need to face all the crises in life. That is bread from heaven. God invites you to live
and forgive us our
with less worry
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Maybe less grumbling this week. So that you can sense his presence around you. And may the peace of God that surpasses everything that you can imagine keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.